We've been looking forward to being here for a while, and I got a call here a few weeks ago asking if we could come, and it's been a pleasure to look forward to coming here and excited to see all of you. A full service tonight. This is, by the way, this is uncommon for Monday. I think it's Monday night, and honestly, I don't know what night it is anymore. I think it's Monday, but it is uncommon to have a full service on a Monday night, and praise the Lord for you being here. Well, I had the great privilege of being a third-generation missionary to the country of Argentina. And if you just go back in time, 1973, my grandfather went to Argentina as a missionary. And I'm going to backtrack just a hair more on his life. And my grandfather, Russell, grew up in Nebraska, on the farms in Nebraska. And he grew up in a home that did not believe in God. And he would consider himself an atheist. And it wasn't until his mid-20s, and he's studying in a secular university at the time, and due to the influence of a next-door roommate that did believe in God, that he came to believe in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I tell you, his life completely changed from that day forward, and a new life, and I'm very thankful for that decision, but also just for the faithfulness, that young man, to witness to him, to build a relationship with him, to work with him. And my grandfather in 73 went to Argentina and was faithful, served there through 2012. And then my father returned to Argentina in 96 and is still serving the Lord down there today. And I'm very thankful for his life of faithfulness and serving the Lord there and everything. God has used him and done great things over the years. My grandfather was one of the first missionaries to go. One of the pioneer ones to go to Argentina. Today, the gospel is going forth faster than ever in Argentina, but yet there's still lots of ground to be covered. And I was talking to Pastor a little earlier about down here, there's so many churches so close together, and we can leave here and drive not too far away and find another church of like faith. And it's so common in this part, especially in this part of the U.S. And in Argentina, you can drive for hours and not find one church. You'll pass city after city after city after city and not find one that's preaching the truth. So yeah, there's still lots of ground to be covered, and we're excited to get to go back and continue sharing Christ there, continue sharing the gospel in Argentina. But my wife is from Chile, and most would probably think she's from Argentina because she looks maybe like she's from Argentina. She fit right in, but she's actually was born in Chile, also down in South America. And she grew up about the first half of her life there, the second half in Argentina. Her family moved to Argentina and joined our church back in 2008. And we grew up in the youth group together there at the church. And back at that time, I remember 2009 or so, I was way too immature and too young for such things, but I started pursuing her. I remember I saw her for the first time, and I was like, man, what a beautiful young lady. And what a godly young lady. I thought, she'd make a good wife. And so there began the pursuit that didn't really get me anywhere because she didn't really like me so much. So we didn't get anywhere till 2020. And God opened doors and brought us together in his timing. Not my timing, but in his timing. And I'm very thankful for that. And she loves the Lord and is thrilled to get to serve the Lord and with together. And he's also given us Jonathan. If you haven't met Jonathan, he'd love to meet you. And he's an outgoing little guy. He's changed our life in many ways, and he's a challenge and a lot of fun at the same time. So we're enjoying him and thankful that God has given us Jonathan and so on. But if you're not familiar with Argentina, I'll just give a brief context. It's in South America. It's the second largest country in South America. It's the eighth largest in the world, and it's the eighth largest nation in the world today. It's roughly, for context sake, one-third of the continental United States in square miles, okay? So it's a pretty good-sized country, 47 million people today, and we figure roughly 90% of the population's probably not heard a clear gospel presentation, 90%. Think about that for a minute, and a 47 million people. Now, most Argentines would profess to be Roman Catholic. And when you talk to, I've talked to so many over the years, and I ask them, what do you believe in? And they tell them, I'm Catholic. But most of them are Catholic in name, not in practice. And that means they just don't go to church. They just, my parents are Catholic, my grandparents are Catholic, so I must be a Catholic. And they believe in God, and they believe in heaven and hell, and they believe in the Bible, and but they're not believing in Christ for salvation. And we know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And it's very sad that they're trusting in their good works to do enough good to get to heaven. And we know our good works will not get us to heaven. So it's our desire to take the message and continue taking the message, be a voice in Argentina and continue sharing the message of the gospel there. Coming back just a little bit to my life, when my parents went there back in 96, I was 2 years old. And I didn't get a choice on whether or not I went to Argentina. It was by force. And as typically two-year-olds don't give many choices in life. And honestly, I had hard feelings for several years. And I just did not like being a redhead in a country where redheads were rare. And I didn't like it. We would walk down the street and everybody would be staring at me. And I just don't care for that too much. And it's just a little too much. And then people come over and they want to touch my hair and so on and all that good stuff. But honestly, I'm very thankful now looking back for the privilege of having grown up there, having learned the language and the culture, and God's knit my heart with the Argentine people, and I count them as my people. And we're looking forward to going back. But growing up there, it's been wonderful, wonderful. All those years from roughly 2 years of age through 20, there serving my family and helping in any and every way possible, and probably getting more in the way than anything, but having a good time serving in the church and being a part of what God is doing. And there I remember going so many times with my dad. We'd go out, and there's a kind of unique thing. My mom does not like coffee, and she doesn't like coffee so much she don't want coffee in the house, and that's to the extreme, if you will, that she does not like coffee. And so my dad's like, no big deal. We'll go do without coffee in the house. But my dad loves coffee. So what we do is every time we'd go out and go do ministry work or go to church or go downtown and do errands or whatever it was we had to do, we'd go out. And if I got to go with him, it was always exciting. And being the oldest, I got to go a lot until my brother was old enough. And then it wasn't very much fun because then I had to every other time. Going out with Dad, we'd stop at a coffee shop first thing. That's every morning, started at a coffee shop. And our coffee in Argentina is a little different than in the U.S. Here, from what I gather from American culture, we grab coffee on our way to work. Typically, we go through the drive-thru, grab something, and we're off to work. Or we prepare something at home, and we go take it to work. That's common here. In Argentina, typically, you go to a coffee shop, you sit down, and you drink whatever you're drinking. You eat maybe a pastry, and you might be there for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. And you might read the newspaper. You might have a business meeting with somebody. And it's very relaxed, and it's a little different. So we'd sit down at a coffee shop, and he'd read the newspaper of the day, and I'd talk his ear off, and that was fun. So we had a good time with that. Just great memories, great memories. My parents made ministry fun and serving God fun. And I remember even if we got to go out with Dad, it was especially fun if we stayed out all day. Because if we stayed out all day, that meant we get to eat out. And my mom was also very, she made a big deal about eating healthy at home. So when we got to go out with Dad, we didn't eat healthy. You know, it was hamburgers and sandwiches and all kinds of good stuff. So it was just my parents really made ministry fun, enjoyed growing up in that atmosphere, serving the Lord with them. And I cannot wait to go back and continue serving the Lord there. Just briefly, and then I'll tell a quick story. We'll be moving when we get back to Argentina. Lord willing, we're moving back the 5th of December. We'll be flying back to Argentina, and then we'll be moving to a city called Posadas. Posadas is about 13-hour drive away from where my parents serve today. It's on the far northeastern part of the country. It's a city of about 700,000 people, a city with one Baptist church today. And just a place of great need, a place as far as we can tell people are open, people want to hear the truth, and it just creates a great urgency in my heart to get in the message. And we can't wait to get there. We are working on all kinds of things, getting ready to get there and get a church started there from scratch. We'll be starting there, Lord willing, as soon as possible, and so on. And then through that ministry there, that church, we desire to see God use that church over time, to see ministries of outreach, to get the gospel to many more people, to other cities and across the country, and so on. And my number one goal in life is for every single Argentine person to hear the gospel at least once. At least once. I believe that's fair, at the very least once, and I believe that's God's plan also. and so on. So that's really our goal in ministry and where we're going. I wish I had time to get into more details with that. But I'll tell a quick story of something God used to get a hold of my heart a few years ago. My best friend has a ministry there. My best friend in Argentina has a ministry reaching remote places, and he that's what he dedicates his time to, and getting the gospel into the mountains and far remote places. And we took a trip with him, my younger brother, and myself here a few years ago, and we left the city where my parents serve, and we went a four-hour drive in his Jeep up into the mountains. And I remember we went and had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And just as missionary life is an adventure, I say for most missionaries, it's a nonstop adventure, and this day was no different. Halfway up, we had to stop because it was overheating. We put water in the radiator and then kept going. A little ways further, we had a tire blowout. And by that time, you know Satan's attacking, and man, if Satan's attacking, God wants to do something. And man, I get excited when Satan attacks, and because it just means something good's coming down the path. So we got a new tire on, and kept driving up into the mountains. And our goal is let's go as far as the road will allow us. And when the road runs out, that's where we're going to stop. So that's what we did that day. We drove for about 4 hours, and we got to where the road ended. And there's a village there, and I'm going to guess roughly 12 homes. And give or take, there's probably roughly 12 families living there at that place. And the village is called Gualinchay. And I remember we stopped and we got out and we met the people there. And they're very skeptical because we're kind of outsiders. And they're not used to seeing people from outside. And so I remember we were telling them, you know, we come from the city. We come from the church and we come to share Christ with you and so on. And when we asked them permission to show a gospel film that night, and after quite a while going back and forth, they allowed us to use their electricity and to set up the projector, and we got the sound equipment set up and hung a big sheet from the tree out there in the front, and invited everybody in the area to come out and see a what we call a movie on a big screen. And they'd probably never seen anything on a big screen. It was not a huge screen like we know theaters in the U.S., but it was a lot bigger than the small television set that most people have. So we invited in, and not a whole lot of people came out. Typically, there's a better turnout, but there was probably 7 or 8 came out that night, and they sat there and watched a gospel film, the gospel presentation. Afterwards, we represented the gospel, how you can know 100% for sure the day you die, you'll be in heaven. And it was exciting to see that, and as a reception, them receiving that. And then that night, someone invited us to sleep in their home. And we got to sleep, and I'll just give a little context what this means. We slept in someone's kitchen floor. So this person's home had 2 rooms. They had 1 room where the whole family slept, and they had a little outdoor roof-covered area where their dining room, if you will, was. There's a table sitting outside. And then there's another room, an enclosed room that was their kitchen, and that's where they had like a counter, and they had a fireplace in the corner where they cooked all their meals. The person let us sleep in their kitchen floor, and they have sheep, lots of sheep up on the hillside there. And so he had tons of sheepskins, and he pulled out and set up a big mattress about 3 layers thick of sheepskins, and we lay down on that and slept that night. I slept very, very comfortable. I was like, that's incredible. I was laying there. I was thinking, this must have been how David slept. Just imagining, right? Because David took care of the sheep. I'm just guessing he probably had a big roll of sheepskin with him, and that's what he laid on, and so on. I was just imagining, but it was very comfortable. We slept that night. The next morning, we wake up, and to our surprise, we opened the door, and the chickens came and welcomed us, and the cat came and welcomed us, and the dog, and then the goats. And by that time, we were out, but they all came and welcomed us in just a very different world, if you will, here out in the middle of nowhere, and the way these people lived. And we got up that morning, and we went and got everyone together again, as we had announced the night before. We're going to give out a water system, and we partnered with the Hayes Pure Water Foundation and gave them a system so they can have safe drinking water. And there's another unique ministry there, and God's opened doors to share the gospel, and with that, share the John 4 story of the gospel, the woman at the well, and share living water. And saw several professions of faith. I think we had about 15 come out that morning, and it was exciting. But I say all this just kind of build. This is a story of a couple days of our evangelizing in the mountains, but something stood out on this trip. I remember in this little village, there's a plot of land that had a fence around it. It had probably about 6 wooden posts with a metal roof, and there was some wood benches underneath the roof there, and looking from the street in at the very back, it's a beautiful brick box that had a statue of the Virgin Mary in it. And I remember looking at that, and the thought hit me. You know, Catholicism's been here a very long time. Catholicism's been here probably for a few hundred years, at least, in this village, with a lie that's taking people to hell. Telling them, do enough good, and you'll maybe make it. Just do enough good. And it really broke my heart that day. And how these people, if they didn't have someone bringing the truth, they'd never know. And they're just trusting, hopefully I'll do enough good to get to heaven. And I remember that day seeing that, and at the same time being very inspired. You know what? If the Catholics can get to here and do this, what could we do with the truth? You know, God tells us, commands us in Scripture to go to the uttermost. Take the gospel message to every single creature, to the ends of the earth. And, Catholicism has done it in South America. And I believe we can do it with the truth and so on. And we're excited to just continue going, continue sharing that message, and seeing God bring true hope to these people and so on. There, as Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? How? How is asked 3 times here by the Apostle Paul. From that one village there, you can continue to go up in the mountains on a dirt bike in a very narrow trail. I'm told there's people who live another 8 hours up into the mountains and villages after villages that don't have Christ, have never had someone tell them the truth. And we're excited to not just get to those villages, but to anybody and everyone possible in Argentina with the truth. Briefly, my time is over, but please get back by the table, grab a prayer card. This little guy's a magnet if you like those. On our printed material, there's a QR code. You can scan that. Follow us on social media if you use that. If you like getting emails, you can get our email newsletters each month. Please do that. We covet your prayers. Prayer's fundamental to the success of seeing God work, and we need your prayers. Also on the back table, before I forget, there's some T-shirts. This is an example. There's only 3 sizes left. If you like a T-shirt or a coffee mug, please grab one. They don't have a price. If you'd like to give a donation, anything given goes to a church van. We're saving up to get, and God's providing for that. But if you like one, a T-shirt, a mug, just please grab one on the way out. It's another way to remember Argentina and pray for the ministry there. And we're just excited to see what God will do. Also, on the shirts and cups, if you want to make a donation by credit card, we can do that also. I know most of us don't handle much cash these days. I always forget to make that announcement. But there's a hope. Thank you for having us. It's been a joy to be here, and look forward to meeting you afterwards. Thank you, Pastor.